Hello and welcome back. This is the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We are Rochelle and Carter.
And I've got a new t-shirt.
Yes, you do.
I do.
I did not think that you were going to literally buy a t-shirt every week.
It's getting expensive.
Yeah. I do like the fact that it is Star Wars. He is the way, and it's a Mandalorian theme.
It's kind of a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
This is the way.
Right. Yeah.
I really liked it when I saw it, but they didn't have a girl size, so I had to get the sewing machine out. I was really inspired.
What are you? Do you have one lined out for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks?
I have one for the next week, and I have one in mind that I'll need to Amazon in.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And I'll just say this. It has to do with mosquitoes and Jesus, and that's all I'll say.
Well, that's a good juxtaposition of Jesus being holy and mosquitoes
being
coming from the
Satan.
pit of Hades. That's right. So we're getting to back to school, and I'm so excited. My 3-year-old is he's going to do soccer this fall.
I almost had to come apart when you told me that because the cuteness.
It's like a 3-year-old.
I almost got a cavity.
Yeah.
Listening.
I don't know how small the soccer ball will be.
The shin guards.
The shin guards and the little cleats if there's a – it's just lessons. It's not even a game.
Yeah,
but I'm excited to see
the goal and all of them will be doing the same goal.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know the side that they're supposed to be on, which happens with adults, Carter.
It'll just be the mass of kids all together in one – you know, they're not strategically placed. So yours, I mean, one is in high school now and one is starting his senior year.
Yeah, both of them are in high school now. Yeah, that was weird. I remember when my mom and my dad dropped off my brother first day, freshman year, and I remember them crying, silently crying. Mm-hmm. And I look over. I think a lot of kids do this. They look over, mom and dad are crying, and that's so crazy to them.
Right.
It just struck me. Then I thought, oh, that's really sweet. Mom and dad are really clearly touched by this moment. Huh. Oh, well.
You go on about your day, right?
And then I had that moment the other day when my husband, because you and I were doing the radio show, and he dropped off our little freshman and took that picture of him walking into the building. And then my oldest going in for his last first day of grade school, which is bananas.
Yeah.
But it struck me that way. I think there's a lot of moms who it's day one, preschool, kindergarten. They're always crying every year. I don't know that I've ever been that person, but for some reason this time.
Sure.
Well, you saw me. It was rough. It was rough trying to sit. You were sitting so uncomfortably across from me like, should I? Do you need a hug?
Both are milestones. And then two is like, you were talking to your husband. I'm like, well, I'm going to, they're having a moment here. And actually, this is interesting with what I'm going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Because I texted your husband and said, how you doing? And, you know, Rochelle wasn't, it wasn't the best day, in regards to that. And I thought twice about it because was it one of those, it wasn't my business, right?
What?
Was it my business because you didn't tell me that I could tell other people or should text your husband? I just kind of did that. And it was a lesson that we had here at our devotional at where we work. Gossip was the issue brought up and it was what really is gossip.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, but I would have never classified what you did as gossip because we're so close.
But I don't think people would, but at the same time, is it gossip to, if I went to another coworker and said, Rochelle is having a hard time this morning, like, is it my place to do that, even though it's not necessarily negative?
No, I see what you're saying. I think in our situation, we have a little bit different circumstances because we literally talked about this on our radio show.
Sure, yeah, sure.
So if she's opened the door, then I guess I can text her husband.
It's a very interesting because what we know is to not gossip according to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I think there's certainly, in fact, one thing that I did some extra research on this of like, okay, what is gossip? And, we were told in 1 Corinthians 13 about love and just how to treat people. And then in Philippians, it talks about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is, lovely, whatever is admirable. And so we focus on the good. But what happens in prayer requests? And what happens when it's just simply not our place to say anything?
This is good that you're bringing this up. Good stuff.
And I think what's interesting is the Greek word in the reference in Timothy, where it kind of talks about busybodies, like gossips. Mm-hmm. The Greek word actually means nonsense. we translate it as gossip, but it means nonsense. It means untrue things. Mm-hmm. And so you could see where it's like the telephone game, right? Where it's more of like I think maybe the issue presented is you heard somebody tell you something that heard it from somebody that heard it from somebody. And then there you are saying, you know what I heard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the obvious, like, okay, I don't have their best interests at heart. Proverbs calls it a juicy or dainty morsel. Mm-hmm. Is gossip feels so good, and it's just pointless in the end because you're not treating people with respect.
Right. And the morsel part, that sticks out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I like Toll House morsels, the little semi-sweet.
Right, yeah.
And I've been enjoying some of those mixed in with my yogurt. And if I wasn't careful, I could do them by the handful because they taste so good.
Sure, sure.
But if I eat too many, clearly you get sick. But even just one taste of gossip feels so good going down, but it can land so horribly.
Well, and I think it's James that talks about the tongue is so powerful, the words that we share. Yeah. And that's in more ways than one. I mean, I could directly also tear you down, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's so prevalent because I don't think we know even what we're getting into. And the pastor here at our work, he used a tone, T-O-N-E, and we'll get into what that means in just a second. But
that's an acrostic, isn't it?
Acrostic, yeah. For me, in my family, I think we don't know where the line is because we love, especially on my dad's side, we love telling stories, funny stories, and sometimes it's we would share this in front of the person, but we say it differently when they're not there.
Yeah. No, I see that. Yeah.
And so like if we're kind of like everybody in the family knows how this one family member and their personality and, you know, maybe they're a little let's just say they're clumsy. Okay. Let's just say they're a clumsy person and we all know it. And even the person knows it. But if I'm sharing a story about them tripping and they're there, I might say it softer and nicer, but if they're out of the room, and you know how they are, I mean, they trip all the time, you know, and I start to take on, I think just to be able to get that zing in there so that the audience like knows where it's like, oh, they can imagine it.
Yeah.
But is that really what I should be doing or should I say it exactly how I would if the person was present?
I think it's a heart issue. And
yeah,
we come back totally to that a lot, don't we? And the Holy Spirit alone, along with you, knows what's in your heart. But if you start seeing that, let's say you go with the zinger because you're completely comfortable. You would say it the same way in front of your friend.
Let's say that. Yeah, right.
But if it causes one of the other family members that you're saying that in front of to roll their eyes and start to go, oh my word, they drive me crazy. Okay, ooh, this has led to a place I didn't want it to go.
Sure.
And I don't want to be the cause for somebody else to start now gossiping about.
Yeah, so that's true too.
I'm going to watch my P's and Q's around others because my heart, I didn't mean any of that. Whoa, I didn't mean it to go there.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point. I think I've had that happen at work where you're just telling somebody an interesting thing that happened and then you get the eye roll, I can imagine. And did they say this?
And you're like,
I didn't mean, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to go there. The acrostic that was shared was check your tone. Truth, is a story true? Mm-hmm. How do I know?
The guy's clumsy.
Ownership, is this my story to tell? Mm. News, is this bad news? Now I'm going to stop right there because prayer requests, that's where it really gets blurry for me on intention. Because I could go to somebody and say, hey, be praying for so-and-so. You know, they just told me that blah, blah, blah. But it's bad news, but it's for prayer.
Yeah.
But I go back to the previous one. Is it my place to share it? And I think I got to gauge. In fact, I heard a pastor share, somebody stood up. It was a Q&A. Mm-hmm. They asked a pastor, what happens with prayer? If I go up to you and I ask you to pray for this, mm-hmm. Are you then able, he's asking biblically, are you then able biblically to tell others to be praying for me?
Is he talking about like a one-on-one, like I went directly to the
pastor? A one-on-one prayer, like even let's just say it was at service and everybody even saw you go up,
uh-huh.
but they don't know what you're saying. he said, Pastor, are you then able to share that with anybody to honestly pray for me? And the pastor said, no. He's like, I think that's gossip.
That's interesting. Well, because I think if you get the okay.
If you get the okay,
if you get the checkered flag to come on in.
Can I share this with the congregation or?
If it's a group prayer request situation.
Yeah.
But if it is one-on-one, I think it's really, I think it's so important to just kind of review that in our own hearts and our minds, because what could start as innocent could turn into gossip. But what
sure.
What is also like the storyteller in you and I, we both love to share stories.
Yeah.
I caught a fish and it was this big. Mm-hmm. And it gets a little bigger every time, right?
Sure.
If we know that about ourselves, then that's always a good red flag for us. Wait a second. Is this mine to tell? So is the story true? Is this my story to tell? What's the other one? Is it good news?
So is it bad news or is it good news? And then encouragement. Is this going to encourage people? And when that's kind of what you're getting to. Does it encourage them to gossip? I also got to be on guard that I don't, because what I do, my biggest temptation in all of this is to listen to it. I would love to be the vault. You tell me, it may stop with me, whether it's gossip or not. It'll stop with me, except for maybe it'll get to my wife. And I want to get to that part of it too. What happens in marriage? But I'm not as tempted to share, especially when I know it's a rumor, but I would love to know what you know. Mm-hmm. I would love to know what you think. And that's entertaining. That's part of that. I mean, listening to it as well as sharing is something, you know what? I don't need to know. The pastor that was sharing that about gossip, he said, I really respect people when they have come into me before and they said, you're not going to believe this. So I was talking to, and then they stop and they go, no, I don't think I should share that. And it's he goes, I have incredible respect for that restraint because we have this innate thing that anything that we have inside, whether it's our own idea or gossip, it has to come out.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It doesn't have to, especially if it's not my news. It doesn't have to. I can just let it lie.
Yeah.
And I mean, that doesn't mean you don't, if it's something you obviously you should be praying about or you're struggling with the temptation. Yeah, we can go to God with anything. But in terms of me sharing, me passing along this piece of news, I don't have to generate my mouth to let these words come. It's not like an alien's coming out of your body. It has to come out.
Yeah.
It can stay in. And it's hard, though, because you get that, man, I just got to share it with somebody.
Yeah, when you bring up the context of like a marriage.
Yeah, that's an interesting part of it.
And you've heard about the holiness of the bedroom anyway, not what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas kind of an idea, but it's like, this is an intimate setting. This is a place where husband and wife are partners. And when we're having conversation, what stays in Vegas, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, sure. But if you are purposefully saying it just so that you can be like, oh my word, they're so crazy. I can't believe they did.
Yes.
But it's like, no, I need to share this with you. And I'm going to admit to you that I'm kind of excited in sharing this with you.
Uh-huh.
But the purpose of this is that it needs to be because we need to pray. And then when we commit ourselves to pray for that individual, there is nothing but sympathy that comes out in regards to them again. And you almost find yourself like trying to protect them. You know what I mean?
You're trying to protect who?
The person that you would have been inclined to maybe gossip about.
Okay, yeah.
And now I'm wanting to, wait a second. Hey, honey, I heard this today happened. I saw it happen. I want to tell you what it is. I couldn't believe it. I mean, there's always storytelling. I think we have to like find the balance there because the Holy Spirit knows when we're leading into that place of, well, tell me more. And it's not in a healthy.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you said that about protecting the person.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to come at it from the other direction of I am a vault of the things that my wife shares to me in confidence.
Yes.
I have her back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should be that way with everybody.
Yes.
I should have your back when it comes to the information that you share with me, even if you didn't care. that I was going to share it or not. Even if it wasn't a secret, I still want to take care of that and make sure to have it. You know, if it's clearly something you're telling everybody, then sure. I mean, there's self-awareness and reading the room, mm-hmm. but I still want to have your best interest in mind. And I think when I don't, in the context of marriage, is because I think it's interesting. I feel like I can tell my wife anything.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that pastor also said about he feels that it's gossip to share the thing that you came to me in private to pray for. He's like, I don't even share that with my wife. And I thought that to be interesting because I've had this question before.
I appreciate that in his leadership position.
Exactly. Because you want to know it's safe with him. And I guess I am under the impression in many ways that it's different in the context of marriage. Mm. That is it possible to gossip to my wife? And I think it is because I think you got to deem what's necessary. Certainly I'm going to share a lot more with her. But let's say we were in a meeting of, you know, we have different meetings here. And let's say there's 10 people in the meeting. And two people got in a bit of a spat. Like clearly that the room got awkward, you know. Well, I didn't know you were doing that. Well, I sent you the email on it. You know, it was one of those.
Yeah.
Do I have to go home and tell her?
Does she care?
Does she even care? Am I tempting her to go, what happened today?
Yeah.
Does it really matter?
It can influence the way that your spouse, she's not working here. She has no idea what. So the next time she sees him at a company party, she's going to have that in her mind about that.
Think differently about that's true.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I want to bring this up too. This also hugely depends on, let's say you are in a relationship. My parents were pastors and I knew that they were each other's best prayer buddy. And they looked at, when they said their marriage vows, the two shall become one. When they knew something was going on, because their ministry was together, they were children's pastors together, it affected the other. So they would communicate, there is a need.
Yeah.
We need to be prayer about this. So saying that, but then I mean, it was a couple of podcasts ago, the bonus episode where my parents were here and there was a health concern. And now my mom feels crippled in being able to talk to somebody outside of that sacred space of husband and wife, because my dad is doing stuff that the way to say, he has bipolar disorder. If you haven't seen the episode, he's doing things that this isn't tracking with what's going, something's going on. And she was very concerned. I don't want to uncover my spouse.
Yeah.
Just like you shared moments ago. It's like, I would never reveal anything that my spouse has told me in secret. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly how she felt when she really did need to seek help. And so also like taking this literally and not taking it to the Lord in prayer and saying, God, would you help me navigate? What does this mean for my life? Because you could be walking on eggshells in the place where you're supposed to be at peace.
You there is a level of accountability, of health. Certainly if there's abuse going on, that needs to be shared. And one thing that I thought of on the nonsense, on the rumors, you know, those are the most obvious gossip signs. You know what I heard? You know what I saw the other day? Well, if I walk in—
And we all lean in.
And we all lean in.
Yeah.
And it's like whispering is also a telltale sign that there might be, like even sometimes I find myself whispering even when it's just me and the other person. So guess what? Nobody else is here. Why are you whispering? Because it's gossip. but if I, you know, you don't assume anything and then share it as a rumor and just get it going in the rumor mill. But let's say I was at church and I walk into a children's volunteer alone with a child and I didn't even see anything like legitimately illegal, but something wasn't right about that situation.
Yeah.
I need to go to somebody. Mm-hmm. I need to go to somebody and go, I don't have all the facts because I didn't see blatant abuse, let's say.
Yeah.
But something's not right there.
Yeah.
You're never supposed to be alone with a child, at least with our church, as a volunteer. It's always a buddy system with volunteers. Mm-hmm. They were alone and they were, you know, say, hugging them or had their hand on their shoulder or they're in the corner or whatever. Something's not right. This needs to be looked into.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that with the best interest of the child at heart, certainly in the best interest of the health of our church.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it because I don't like this person. Let's start a little rumor to get them fired or whatever.
It's a heart issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost, you could use this as an argument. What was shared when I see porn, I'll know it when I see it.
I think it was a Supreme Court justice. Okay, I can't define pornography.
But I know it when I see it.
Right.
And so I think we've often shared that sentiment when it comes to the Holy Spirit tells you when you've crossed a line. Mm. I say that, but I'm also always learning, oh, I didn't even know I was crossing a line. Like it wasn't even, maybe I have squashed his voice so much in that particular area of my life that his voice is still small. His voice is a whisper, but not in a good way because I, for some reason, whether I was raised in a culture of gossiping or I was, I've just done it so much that I don't even see that in the same light as God. In fact, what we're talking about right now might be even be like, you guys are being real, like nitpicky about stuff. And that could be.
Yeah.
But it's a Holy Spirit check-in. And then even while I'm listening to you talk about this, checking in with my heart, say, God, have I been just turning my eyes away from the way that you've been trying to direct me in how I speak? Because you have been given authority, whether it's a circle of influence with children, a social media platform, you're a boss at work, wherever you are, no matter who or what, you are like, there's no way I have influence. Everybody has influence. And so if your words are speaking kindly or not kindly, it is going to impact somebody.
Yeah. Well, one thing that comes to mind is my first job out of college, I was at a radio station, and what I had called a non-compete clause, where you can't work for another radio station in the area if you choose to leave. Well, I never actually signed it. The big boss didn't have me sign it. So I then got asked to come to a Christian radio station that was in the area, and the owners, you know, was about to pull out his little file and say, can't leave. We got you. You can't work there.
Yeah.
Right. Legally, you can't work there. Well, in the meantime, my direct superior was telling everybody at work, bad news coming for Carter because he's in a world of hurt here. And I found it out from somebody else that he had been sharing this. And I'm like, that really doesn't have my best interest at heart, does it? Why didn't he come to me? Mm. Hey, I want to give you a heads up on something. That you signed this, you would have signed this on your first day. And just want to give you an expectation. This might not work out for you. Instead, he told other people. Hmm. And I found out from other people.
It's hurtful.
And it was hurtful. And now fortunately, because I just see the way that God used everything, I had not signed that on my first day and I was able to leave. For many reasons, fortunately, right? But I think back to moments like that where they gossiped. And then I am telling you this story now. And wondering if I'm gossiping about him in this moment. Now, I didn't tell you his name.
You have not revealed his name.
And I think that's probably a part of it too. You leave it a mystery. We can use these anecdotes and examples without trying, I think.
Well, pastors do it all the time.
You certainly have these stories, right?
Jesus did share parables.
Yeah.
Have you ever kind of wondered?
Yes. Is it real? Did it really happen somewhere?
Did he see it?
Did he see it even? Yeah.
Did that happen that day?
Yeah, that's interesting.
But he never, you know, shares the name. He never exposes. I think that's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. There is something there to using their specific name. Now, I know, and you know this, I have talked about another boss that I've had at a different place and you know, within circles used his name. And I really regret that. I think there's some good stories to learn from some of these crazy stories. But why did I need to share who it was? Mm. Shouldn't have I had their back at the very least in their identity so that you don't have this picture of them if you ever meet them and you instantly turn your nose up at them because my friend got treated like crap by you. Mm-hmm. I think we got to just let that go and certainly offer forgiveness, but be able to share wisdom without naming the person.
From the beginning, Jesus knew that Judas would betray him.
Yeah.
And if he had started talking about Judas,
Right.
Behind Judas's back. Honestly, look at this from a perspective of today. If you knew somebody was only going to trip you up, wouldn't you treat that person differently? And wouldn't you kind of have something in your shoe about them? Like, I don't.
Isn't that amazing?
And he didn't do that. He did not. It wasn't until the Last Supper that he indicated, there is one of you who will betray me. And when he was asked about it, he said, the same guy, you know, we're dipping the bread. That's the guy. And I think it was maybe, you know, there were little hints and clues that Jesus dropped. Sometimes he just outright said, the Son of Man is going to be taken.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But there were also things that I think he probably was helping the 11 that would be left behind to understand, oh, that's what he meant.
Sure.
Wasn't the intent was not about gossiping, but yeah. Certainly could have, but he was without sin. He was perfect.
Yeah, we got to certainly be real about what we need to be real about.
Yeah,
but not do it from a, I guess from a biased place,
and even from the excuse of religion. So you know the story that there's so many. Paul wrote lots of letters to lots of churches, and all of them needed a good reprimand. It was like
true,
a slap true. On the wrist. But it wasn't because he didn't love them. And you could see the way that he would write his letters. It was about edification. I am loving you. I've seen this in you. This is amazing. Yeah. This stuff over here is tomfoolery, and you need to stop it. And it was always in love. It was a righteous concern. It was not a self-righteous indignation. It was like, no, I love you. You are hurting yourself. There was difference true. There when he called him out.
And it's the heart, and it's also realizing, too, calling something out that's in public is not gossip.
Right.
If there's an open teach, if your pastor gets up at church and starts talking about how Jesus isn't even actually real or something crazy, you stand up and you call it out. That's not gossip. That was public. Saying harsh words in love, saying things that are true to make sure that we have proper theology and doctrine is not gossip, right? And right. So I think there's certainly room for correction without having to go to undermining the person in secret.
You and I had a really good conversation speaking of things that happen sometimes in public places, and there was a Sunday school situation where there's this guy who repeatedly goes to your parents' Sunday school class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And is kind of obnoxious. Actually, from what I heard out of the stories from that classroom, and none of them have ever been like, hey, did you hear what this guy did? It's more like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
He'll say some pretty outlandish things.
Oh, we had a conversation about it, a few months ago, where I happened to be a guest there, and me and him got into an interesting debate during the thing. And I got some, and I think this is a perfect example of them choosing to not gossip. Because they all know him anyway. Mm-hmm. And it was our pastor sharing about sometimes you gotta, really all the time, you gotta just treat people with the phrase, that's just the way they are. Hmm. You gotta love them in spite of the fact that that's just the way they are. Now, that's not an excuse for their behavior.
Say that again.
It's not an excuse for their behavior. That doesn't mean what they're doing is right. And that we shouldn't go, well, no, I guess it's right for them. No, it may be flat out wrong. But, you know, our pastor made a point of the senior citizens ministry. He's like, if you got old crazy Joe that's 80 years old, I got news for you. He's not changing. Mm. And he said, I see so many of our senior citizens with that wisdom that's just the way he is. And I'm going to love him anyway. Mm-hmm. And I instantly thought of my parents' small group where that's just who this guy is. And literally I've heard the words, that's just so-and-so. That's just him. And he comes back every month.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And they know it's going to be a little crazy here. Now, sometimes he's asleep. Sometimes he's ranting. Like, it just kind of depends on the month. But they just acknowledge, I don't have the power to change somebody. Yeah. So in the meantime, I'm going to love you.
I remember you telling me about the whole situation, and I was getting flustered because I struggle with the balance of, okay, this is not appropriate behavior.
Sure.
It is affecting the class setting, but apparently Have they been conditioned to just accept it? Does he ever get called out on it? Is there an agreement between everybody involved in the Sunday school class? It's like, that's just so and so, but this is what we think. Does he know this is how people feel? Is that even a sense?
No, I don't get the impression he does. But no, I think there are genuine feelings in the midst of the rant, and there are genuine retorts. I mean, I saw it and I participated. It's like, you know, I don't want to use his name either. It's like, so-and-so, you can't say that. He's like, well, what about this verse and this verse and this verse that says it? See, you're wrong. Like, it's like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very black and white.
And there's frustrating feelings in the midst. And then I think they just walk out and let it go. And we'll see you on Sunday. Or we'll see you next month at small group. And it's not, they don't get together and chit chat and go, we got to find a way to get him out of here. Like, there's nothing like that, it seems. It's just gear up, he'll be back, and we're going to love him as best we can.
Yeah. And it's incredible with those types of personalities. Curmudgeons is how I view them.
Right.
With those types of personalities, I've even seen throughout my parents' ministry, they'll reveal somewhere down the road something so precious. Like, God will give you his eyes at times, and you see that curmudgeon through God's eyes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I would never have anticipated that from him. But you know what? Really glad we didn't kick him out of our Sunday school class, because I would never have seen that there is grace enough at the table for even that curmudgeon.
Yeah.
And I'm humbled by that. And there, I mean, when we're dealing with children and we're trying to train them up in the right way, which I heard this the other day. I thought it was great. The meaning, the Hebrew meaning, when you read train up a child in the way they should go, when it's talking about training, it's almost like a mama bird. Like, it literally means if it's too tough for the kids, like if Ezra came along and he wanted something that was really spicy, but you knew he'd enjoy like the meat under it, you suck off the spice maybe and you give it to your kid, which honestly, I know Carter right now, that probably makes you sicked out.
No. But, sorry, I just got to say this.
Yeah.
He does not have carbonated beverages often. And when he has it, and he calls it spicy.
Spicy, that's what my kids did. It's spicy.
That's spicy.
It's carbonation. But, you know, it's about, I'm going to make this palatable. I'm going to make it so that they'll understand. And I was on a totally different note this morning, just blessed in reflection over a prayer that my son said last night. As they're older, I'm like, Lord, I failed my kids, but have I failed in a way that is going to keep them from claiming faith in you, their own faith in you? Have I been a stumbling block, or have I helped to build the bridge so that they can come to know relationship with you truly? And I know that they have a relationship with him. We've seen so many followers in faith recently with deconstructing and all this stuff. It's like, God, have I led them in the way they should go? Have I trained them in the right way? Have I made this training palatable in a way that they go, this makes sense? And I heard my youngest pray last night in a way that was just like, just a God wink, that was like, I got your kid. Because remember, he's my kid too. And it was, I think there's promise in patterns, and promise in persistence. And if you've struggled, even you have adult children and you feel like they've swayed, there's hope there, because you set a pattern, you set a tone. They remember it. They may have, quote, departed from it, because we take those words literally, right? They will not part from it. Well, my kid departed. But there's something still there, was a seed deeply planted. And I want you to hang on to hope. And Dr. Evans once said, it's like a bungee cord. They may have gone all the way over there. God's going to bring them back. Keep speaking that into your prayer time. And
well, I really like that, because I think it's like working out. So there are certain days you feel the workout. And you're like, that made a difference today. I had a good one.
Yeah.
And there are times it's like, I did not feel this at all.
Yeah.
But you're still in the habit of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're still the wisdom in just continuing on regardless of how it feels.
Then and his promise remains true. There will always be that Holy Spirit nod. If you have poured into your child, then I do believe they know right from wrong. And you know what? That's enough for God to work with. Mm. That's enough for him to get a foot in the door, because you planted that in them while they were young.
Yeah.
And so keep holding on to faith. And you're like, well, maybe God forbid your child has passed on and you're not sure.
Right.
You're not sure. I was telling this to my son last night because there's an actor that he loves so much and he found out that he passed away. He said, Mom, do you think he's in heaven? I said, sweetheart, what only matters is what happens right before that last breath between his maker and himself. And there's always hope. You never know. And so I always hold on to that hope. You just don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting when you brought up the whole subject matter of, you know, not just the gossip thing, but should we do anything about the Sunday school guy in the class who's being disruptive? And obviously, you prayerfully consider that before the Lord and say, God, is this becoming a stumbling block for others that can't learn, right?
That's something to consider as well.
But if it's just like you're doing life and you know that this person is always going to be there, maybe it's a coworker, it's a family member, set boundaries, absolutely. But if I keep looking at them, then I'm not going to respond well to the circumstances and I'm going to be perhaps a stumbling block to other people because I do, quote, have influence, as I was saying earlier. And when I speak up, perhaps that's going to lend to somebody else going, yeah, what Rochelle said, and now we got a situation here.
Oh, you almost look like a mob is describing.
From Beauty and the Beast. Kill that beast. And it's, I think it's so important what Jesus told Peter, that if you keep your eyes on me, if I'm focusing on Jesus and not the waves, the storm, the circumstances, then I'm going to be just fine. I will start to sink if I don't. And what's really cool is that there were 11 other disciples back in that boat watching Peter when he did keep his eyes on Jesus and probably reflected a lot on that for future reference. They were like, you know what? When Peter kept the main thing, right, he stayed afloat. So my keeping my eyes on Jesus will also impact others. It will influence them. It will make them go, okay, for some reason, and I'm not saying that this has ever happened because I struggle in this area. If I see a problem, I want to fix it.
Sure.
But hopefully I'll get to a place where it's just habit. I've got my eyes on Jesus and people have noticed and she seems not distracted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There was one other thing I'd like to bring up. I recently discovered when I was reading through Psalms that I have been flustered with David.
Oh, do tell.
Now, he's not the only psalm writer. We know that.
Uh-huh.
But he did write a lot of them. And some of them have the words like, and I will bathe my feet in the blood of my enemy. You know, and I'm like, wow. Like, I know people talk like that back then.
Yeah, right.
But as I'm reading these psalms, sometimes those kinds of things are a bit of a struggle. You want to say something, right? I can see it. What?
Are you gossiping about David?
See, I think David is in the other place right now. Yeah. So he's probably
we can gossip about people in heaven.
It'd be funny, he's struggling his beard. Yeah. Like, yeah. No doubt. Michelle, yeah. No doubt. But that's the way people talked.
Yeah.
And he clearly, yeah, David did not have his hands clean of blood, which is one of the reasons why Jesus, you can't build the temple, buddy. We're going to have Solomon build the temple because you have too much blood on your hands. So this guy was a warrior. He did his thing. There's a thing about how he got one of Saul's daughters. You can look that up. I'm not going to mention it, but it was not comely. It was like, he did what now?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's not comely.
It was a scalping of sorts. But anywho, he's talking like this, and I'm thinking, oh my word, I have an advantage over David. David is crying out to God in so many of these psalms, you know, and struggling, and he's trying to keep his eyes on the Lord. That's what he's trying to do, but he is looking at the storm around him. But he never met the same Jesus that told Peter, you will sink if you don't do that. We have the advantage. I can now go back through the Psalms, and I'm starting to do this. I'm like, okay, from a Christ-centered perspective, David would probably have said this instead. He would have been able to go, I see where I'm thinking askew here. Mm. I mean, he was real, don't get me wrong, but I think he would have wrapped it up with instead of like, and you will be victorious, God, because we will bathe our feet in the blood of our, it'll be like, Lord, I'm keeping my eyes on you because you are the victor and you've won the battle. Mm. I think that's just, it's powerful. We could go through and I think if he was here today, he'd be like, man, you guys don't know how good you got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one thing I've thought about of, man, wouldn't it be great to be able to live at the time of Jesus, and yet we get the advantage of having everything he said, certainly not everything he ever said, but yeah. written down and compiled for us, and then we're able to see even what they couldn't even see. Certainly right. The people in Jesus' time before he died, even the disciples. This overlap from the Old Testament of yes. this is the Messiah and how these go together and what books are scripture and we really have it easy in a lot of ways, even though we feel so far removed from the time period.
And maybe because some would argue we don't have it easy. Maybe we've been robbed of truly being hungry for God's word because it's readily available. If I have chips in the cupboard that are always there, sometimes I want to go out to eat because I want to try.
Yeah.
I want some of that.
Yeah.
We still have food at home.
Right.
Why are you going out to eat? It's like I have Jesus available 24/7. First of all, by his spirit, because we had his spirit before words were written down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now we have the word compiled. And we weren't knocking outside of Gutenberg's press. You done yet? We have right. it.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I guess it is a guilt trip, but we're all included in it if we live in today's day and age. And it's somebody posed the question of what if somebody from the first century that was just relying on one of those letters to make it to their town heard us say, I just don't really feel like reading my Bible today. You don't.
You know what? They'd probably feel like bathing their feet in your blood.
I'm sorry, you have access to it all the time? Yeah, I do.
I think we need a refresher, not as a guilt trip, but like just to help with perspective and go, oh my word, I never thought of it that way before. And even, you know, we had Tara Lee Cobble with us a couple days ago, and it was about we all have time to somehow delve into scripture, even if it is the Bible in just listening to it.
Yeah.
That's not my preference, but it's there.
I think I got to recognize that something is better than nothing.
Because
I'll go, man, I don't have 30 minutes to really sit down and think yes. about it and process it. And so that's why, I mean, that's honestly why we do this podcast. Mm-hmm. At least for you and for us, it's to be able to have a conversation about it. It's something. Now, yes. yeah, would it be ideal for me to sit down for 30 minutes a day, an hour a day, read and pray? Yes. But if I don't, or I convince myself that I don't, should I at least take 5 minutes rather than go, well, I can't do anything then?
I also, a friend of ours, she started drinking this stuff that did not look ideal to me. And I'm just going to out her right now. Her name is Raina.
Oh, okay.
She's a producer.
Okay. The smoothies.
She drinks this kale blueberry nonsense. Yeah. And she said, Rochelle, I started craving it.
Yeah.
She's like, I know it's good for me. So I'm going to just drink it. I'm going to drink the thing.
Yeah.
And then she's like, now my body, actually, I look forward to it. I look forward. So even if the thought of reading scripture might feel daunting and thus make you apprehensive about even going there, it's like, I don't understand. You know, I didn't grow up in a certain way. My home, .. You know, we have a zillion excuses, and I get it. I feel that way about drinking kale smoothies.
Oh, amen.
But my friend, by the way, she's looking fit. She's feeling healthy. Her blood levels are looking great. You know, she did the thing and now she likes it.
Yeah.
How much more? We already like Jesus. Mm-hmm. We already love Jesus. I want to get to the point where it was like that, a honeymoon time with my husband where it's like, I can't wait, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, there are going to be days where it's like the honeymoon is over and I maybe need to take a step back from all the chapters, maybe just a verse or two today. You know, there's no right or wrong way. No, there is a wrong way to deal with your relationship with Christ, to put the Bible, to put your thoughts, your devotional life on the shelf. That's the wrong way because your
sure.
relationship's going to die out. But there's no wrong way to pick up in reading the word. That's what I mean to say. There's no wrong way to start with that.
So, well, I guess I would recommend against just skipping around, to be honest with you, because you might read this verse
wait a second.
And then go, you know, the classic. Yeah, exactly.
Even on a verse.
Yeah,
it was
you were
in
on
the
a blank page.
Page.
I honestly, the old youth group way, and forgive me, this is maybe a little crude, but this is what our youth group guy said. He said, you don't just skip around because if you just ran on one, Judas went and hanged himself, and then you skip. Therefore, go ye and do likewise. Like, you know, I mean, so it's like you want it in context and certainly, but I can attest those times where I finally get in a habit.
Yeah.
Where it's daily or at least consistently.
Yes, yes.
And then I
and there's no bigger or small. It's just it's consistent.
And my thoughts are transformed.
Yeah.
And I honestly start to think about God more in the off time, if you will.
And so I've given a voice to that spirit that maybe has been squashed in this area and that it can get louder and louder and louder. Why? So that I can live my life gossip free. And so much more than that. All of the keys to the kingdom have been given to me. Have I gone and tried to unlock those doors?
This is great. We love talking about this stuff. We appreciate you listening or watching. Maybe you have got on the YouTube train, the Anything But Quiet Time podcast YouTube channel to see it. You can text the word quiet to the number 893-893. You can also subscribe because that way you'll get the updates every week when we upload something new.
Do they click the bell?
You click the bell.
See, I've never
click
said
the subscribe
that.
Button.
People have asked me to subscribe to their channel and hit the bell, but I've never said hit the bell.
Click the bell. Say it one last time.
Hit that bell. Click the bell. Is it hitting? I've ruined it.
Click the bell.